engulfed by the terror of tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before you roll. At the end of doubt and certain is eternity. Though fear and conflict seize your soul. Just think of stepping on shore.
Yes.
And finding it heaven. Of touching a hand and finding it God.
Yes, amen.
Of breathing new air and find it celestial. Of waking up in glory and finding it home. When surrounded by the blackness of the darkest night, oh, how lonely death can be. At the end of this long tunnel is a shining light, for death is swallowed up in victory.
Yes, amen.
Just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand.
Yes.
And finding it God's, of breathing new air and find it celestial. Of waking up in glory.
Yes.
And finding it.
Wow. Glory to God. I don't know if I can hold my breath that long. Brother Shaddix, thank you for that song. I'm telling you, boy, I tell you, you think of what the truth of that song is. One day, we're going to breathe our last breath of life, and we're going to wake up as a believer in heaven and finding it everything that we believe by faith has come to fruition. And it's all going to mean more to us in that day than it means right now, because it's all going to be right there in front of us. I'm looking forward to that day, and I'd rather meet the Lord in the rapture, wouldn't you? But if not, I'm going to be with Him one day, and what a great truth. Take your Bible, if you would, this morning, John chapter 14, if you would, please. One verse, John chapter number 14, and verse number 27. Okay, John 14, John 14 and verse number 27. All right, would you stand with me this morning as we read one verse, John chapter 14 and verse number 27. Jesus speaking here says this. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." And that's where a lot of people are confused right now. They think that peace lies in the world. And the Lord was very distinct in saying, it's totally separate what I'm talking about here. He says, the peace that I'm going to give you here is, he said, is not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I want you to notice what the theme of that verse, Jesus used the word peace. Peace. On two different occasions. Talking about that intercontentment, that harmony, that security. Because he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He has a peace for every one of us. And may I say that every person in this auditorium this morning is longing in your heart for peace. You see it on bumper stickers everywhere. You know, pray for world peace. Everybody's looking for peace. Peace with God, peace with their spouse, peace with their children, peace with their boss, co-workers. You see, that desire's there. And I just wonder how many of us today have peace with God and the peace of God in our hearts. Would you pray with me today as I speak on this subject, Pirates of Peace? Father, would you bless our time together this morning as we open the Word of God? We take a look a little bit about what you'd have to say to us today. I pray that you teach us now this truth in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you know anything about pirates, pirates roamed the seas heavily during the 1700s and early 1800s, and they went about robbing, murdering, pillaging ships and villages unmercifully. They had little concern for life, and even if it was their own. You see, pirates were driven by hatred, bitterness, and immorality. And may I say to you this morning, they took pleasure in robbing people of their peace in life and leaving them destitute, wounded, or dead. You know, I read about some famous pirates, and just their name ought to bring up a red flag that something's not right here. I read about Black Bart, Black Caesar, Blackbeard, Redbeard, William Kidd. I read about Calico Jack, Jack Rackham, Captain Jackman, and Jack Sparrow. Wait a minute, he wasn't supposed to be in there. How did I get that written down? Now, let me tell you something. Most of us think that, here's what we've got in our mind. We've got that a pirate looks like Captain Hook. All right, that's what we think it is, that these are just pleasant people that, you know what, just went bad. And by the way, I want to just say this. Hollywood tends to glamorize pirates. Look at most of the things that are put out, and they tend to glamorize this. You see, pirates do this because they want the treasure. They want the payload that was being carried by these ships, and they spared no expense to get what they wanted. They were vicious. They were intimidating. And many of these men that I read you about, these famous pirates of the past, were very, very vicious men. You see, they'll go to any cost at robbing people of peace. May I say to you this morning, congregation, that you likewise today have a very precious treasure and payload that you're carrying. That treasure and payload that you're carrying today, these pirates, there are pirates searching for you today. They're searching for you night and day to rob you of the very thing that Jesus Christ said He had for you. They are sailing the seas of your mind, your heart, looking for your treasure. And that treasure is, this morning, if you're a believer, these pirates want to rob you of the peace of God. If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, they're trying to keep you from experiencing salvation and rob you from peace with God. You see, they're vicious. They're intimidating. They are people that are looking for ways to destroy the peace that God said He had for you. You see, there's a reason that so many are struggling with maintaining peace, the peace of God. I'm talking about believers in their heart. Because without peace, I want you to think about this. Without peace in your life, people are unhappy, they're unconcerned, they're uncaring, and undisciplined. You see, with that peace that passes all understanding comes joy, comes encouragement, comes service, and comes faithfulness. You say, where is peace? Well, I'm glad you asked, because there's one thing required of us in order to secure peace. Take your Bible, if you would. Find Psalm 34, if you would, with me. Psalm chapter 34 and verse number 14. Psalm 34 and verse number 14. You see, this peace that Jesus is talking about, we want Him to do all the footwork. We want Him to do all the work to it. We just want to accept it and receive it. But I want you to notice here in Psalm chapter 34, verse number 14. Are you with me? Verse number 14. Depart from evil. Well, that's a good start, isn't it? Depart from evil and do good. Does your Bible say seek peace and pursue it? Got some news for you today. You want it? You're going to have to go get it. All right? If you want peace, if you're a believer today and you say, oh, I'm just not happy. I'm just not at peace in my heart with the Lord. Can I say something? You're going to have to seek it. You're going to have to pursue it. You're going to have to do the things that require you to be have the peace of God in your life, in your home, and in your family. You see, peace has to be sought after. You know, one day, you and I are going to live in eternal peace outwardly and inwardly. But you may say, preacher, is it possible today to have peace? Is it possible today that I can actually live in peace? Well, you know, so many of God's people are miserable, discouraged, and disgruntled because they have allowed peace to escape them. They haven't done the things to pursue it. They have not been seeking it. And left alone, they become discouraged and unhappy. You see, it's very possible for every believer to live in peace. You see, the world, that's all they've got on their mind. All we hear on the radio, on the stations today, and in the newspaper is peace, peace, peace. I got some bad news for you. Peace ain't going to come to this earth till Jesus comes and sets His kingdom back up. That's the only time peace is going to return to the earth. But you say, preacher, can I live in peace? Yes, you can. Matter of fact, if you're a believer today, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. You see, unfortunately, the problem we have is unfortunately something is clogging the flow of peace from God's Holy Spirit to your heart. There's something that is stopping it. I'm here to tell you today, I want to point out what I believe to be from Scripture, the pirates. Those that are robbing and seizing peace from the people of God and from those who want to be part of the people of God. Take your Bible, if you would, 1 Peter chapter number 5. If you would, please. 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to point out to you, first of all, this morning, the captain of all captains of piracy. I want you to notice, if you would please, in 1 Peter chapter number 5, you'll recognize the verse once you get there, and verse number 8. Did you notice there in verse 7, Peter says, casting all your care upon Him, speaking of the Lord, for He careth for you. Then he says, be sober. Be vigilant. He says, because your adversary, the devil, out beside your Bible, make a line, put right there, the captain of all piracy, right there. He says here that he is your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You know, in my reading and studying of these pirates, they didn't just sit anchored in a cove somewhere waiting for people to come to them. You know what they did? They sailed the seas. They were looking for treasure. They were looking for payload. And by the way, you know, when you study these guys out and their life and stuff, they weren't always looking for money. They were looking for new ships. They were looking for things they could go to ports and sail. That piracy was across the board, not just money, not just hidden treasure. You see, I found out pirates were always looking. They were always seeking. And may I say to you that, number one, this morning, that the captain of all piracy is the devil. The devil. He fears no man nor vessel. He's pillaging lives and destroying homes at an alarming rate today. And what he's doing to the people of God is he's robbing them and filling his coffers up with the treasures of men and women and boys and girls from all over the world because he's pirating their lives. He's after them. He's finding the treasures. He's finding the payload. And he's the number one pirate of peace in your life. He doesn't want you to have peace of God. And if you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ, can I say something? He doesn't want you to have peace with God either. He's sailing about this morning from pew to pew, person to person, looking to pirate the peace of God and take it from you. You see, he doesn't want you to have peace with God. He doesn't want people to be saved. He doesn't want people to have a relationship with God. He doesn't want a believer to have the peace of God. You see, his pirate fleet's large. These pirates, many times when they would go and they would jump a ship out in the open seas, it wasn't just one ship on one ship many times. Many times these pirates had a fleet. Sometimes up to 300 and 400 would attack a ship at a time. They would go on there and pillage that ship and normally kill everyone on board, and then they would take the younger ones and bring them on to their ships and make them servants and slaves as cooks and all the various things that they did there. And that's many times how they would train these young people up to become pirates themselves. I'm here to tell you today, congregation, that Lucifer, Satan, the devil, desires you. You see, Peter was very acquainted that Satan was seeking people. That's the reason he penned this, because I'm sure that as he penned these words under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, I wonder, as he penned these words, if his mind drifted back to when Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired you that he may sift you as wheat." I wonder if he penned these words, if his mind drifted back to the very words of Christ that were spoken from the lips of the Son of God to him. Satan desires you. He wants to pirate and pillage your life. He wants to steal everything you've got. And the main thing he's after is peace, because that's the main thing people are after today. They're seeking it. They desire it. You see, Satan robbed man in the garden. Satan took away the peace that Adam and Eve had and plummeted mankind into sin. You see, Satan took away peace from Joseph's life. He was sold by his brothers into Egyptian bondage. You see, Satan came and took peace from Peter when Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ. How many times? Three times. Three times he denied Jesus Christ. Then may I say, Satan knew the importance of Jesus' mission because he even tried to stop him. You know what he tried to do? He tried to tempt Jesus on three different occasions. He was trying to pirate the peace that Jesus said he had for you and I. Satan tried to stop that Jesus was doing. He tried to stop him as he was headed to the cross, all because he wanted to rob us of the peace that God has for every one of us this morning. I don't know about you, I kind of like peace, don't you? I kind of like things to be a little bit calm. I don't enjoy confrontation, do you? Nobody enjoys confrontation. But yet, you know something? Here is the captain of all piracy right here. You know what he wants to do? He wants to keep your life in an absolute uproar. Now, you say, how does he go about doing that? Well, may I say to you that one of his biggest tactics of piracy that he uses to rob you of your peace is he always tends to get you looking backwards. He always tends to get you looking to the past, to what's happened in your life, what people have done to you or what you have done to them. By the way, whether it be good or bad. Do you know he can hook you with pride if all you do is look back and look at all the good you've done to people and have the spirit of, they owe me? You see, he can use that as well. But I want to show you something interesting in Scripture here. You say, well, Brother Todd, I just can't forget what's happened to me in the past or what people have done to me or what I've done to someone else. I beg to differ with you. You can. Now listen to me. You can't, in the literal sense of the word, forget, because God's designed your brain to be a memory card, to be a memory, a file of everything that's happened in your life. But I want you to notice, if you would, turn with me, if you would, this morning in Scripture. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter number 3, if you would, please. Okay, Philippians chapter 3. Find your place there. I want to show you something here. Would everybody agree with me that the Apostle Paul, if anybody had the justification to not forget and have a hate list, Paul would have been one? Would everybody agree? Go read it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 5 times he was beaten. 3 times he was beaten with rods. Or 5 times he was whipped. 3 times he was beaten with rods. He was stoned. He spent nights and days in the deep. He said, I was in peril here. I was in peril here. Listen, if anybody had the right to have a hate list and not forget, he had the right to. But I want you to notice what he says in Philippians chapter 3. Notice, if you would, in verse 13. Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I haven't arrived. I don't know everything. He said, but this one thing I do. Because if he hadn't done this one thing, we probably wouldn't be reading about all the things and the books of the Scripture that the Apostle Paul gave us. He said, this one thing I do. Does the next word in your King James Bible say forgetting? He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Kind of sounds like here that forgetting is possible. You say, well, how do I do it? Well, you need to have a relationship with God. Because what Jesus promised he would do is he would take those memories of the past and fill those with himself. You know what? That way, I can forget, I can disregard intentionally. I can overlook. You see, Paul was willing to overlook the stoning. He was willing to overlook the beatings. He was willing to overlook the whippings. He was willing to overlook all the perils. He said, forgetting those things which are where, folks? Behind. He says, all that's behind me. And he said with excitement, he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. You see, what I'm saying to you, the captain of all piracy, one of the tools he likes to do is help you try to keep you looking back. Try to keep you looking back at all the bad things that's happened to you, all the circumstances. And you know what? One of the things that he's done real well today at is he's given so many people a victim mentality. Everybody's a victim. And so you know what we do? What we do is we say, well, you don't understand. I'm a victim of this and I'm a victim of that. Hey, how about let's just taking the past, which, by the way, there's nothing you can do to change. And do as Paul said, I'm just going to fill my heart with the love of God. I'm just going to fill my heart with the service of God. And he says, forgetting those things which are behind. I'm just telling you, number one pirate is Satan himself. Take your Bible, if you would, 1 John chapter 3. Let me give you another pirate. 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. In my studies of these guys, I found out that sometimes these pirates would attack each other. When they'd get low and guys would abandon them and take off, they'd go into port and some, you know, 50 get off, 15 get back on. Something's wrong, right? A lot of them would take off on them. So you know what? In order to get more people like-minded like they were, they'd go attack other pirates, sink their ship and get their crew. I'm telling you, these guys were vicious. You see, the thing about it is, let me show you another hand-in-hand pirate here that's working with Satan. 1 John, you find your place there, 3, verse number 8. He that committeth sin is of who? Didn't we already establish that he's the captain of all piracy? So you know one of his little cohorts, you know one of his little sidekicks, his little buddies in piracy? It's not just that a pirate, that the number one pirate is Satan. May I say to you, number two, another pirate's sin. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Take your Bible, if you would, go to Romans chapter 7. Go to Romans chapter 7. Okay, Romans chapter 7 and verse 20. Romans 7, verse 20. Paul, once again writing here, says, "Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Would everybody agree with me that sin produces hurt? So that, you know what? When sin produces hurt, most people can't have peace and hurt at the same time. Sin will pirate peace from you. You see, it produces hurt. It produces guilt. It produces shame. You say, "Why, preacher? Why all of these things? Why so much hurt? Why so much guilt? Why so much shame?" Because the Scripture is very plain that the way of the transgressor is hard. Let me give you an illustration. When I was an older teenager and even into my 20s, I was born and raised in Mississippi, and there was a lake that we used to go to called Beaver Lake. It was about an hour from where I lived, and it was back in the middle of logging country. And so when we would go there, one of the men that I worked with would go there, and the reason they called it Beaver Lake is obviously beavers, but it had, I'm telling you, when you looked at the lake, it was full of stumps everywhere. You couldn't even get in a boat. They didn't even have a boat launch. You had to get in with we fished on one of these inner tubes. We'd have an inner tube, and that's how we'd get out there on an inner tube. Now, the thing about it is my feet are going down through that inner tube. There's no telling something's on the bottom looking. It's, you know, probably a 90-pound catfish thinking it's bait or something. But, you know, when we'd get off the highway and we'd have to cut through, if you've ever been through logging, down logging roads, they don't pave those. And we'd go down there with all of our equipment and stuff, and you could only go so far because I'm telling you, folks, there'd be holes as big as this pulpit. And you'd hit that thing. You'd get stuck out there, really, and you certainly don't go back there after it rains. And we'd go down those logging roads, and I mean, the pickup would be jerking, and by the time you got back to the lake, you weren't even really in the mood to fish because you're sick at your stomach. But you know what? It was rough, man. It was hard getting back there. But you know what? That's where the good fishing is. If it's harder to get back there, it's probably better fishing. So you know what I was willing to do? I was willing to endure that old bumpy road. But I'm here to tell you, by the time I got back there, I just didn't feel much in the mood to fish because I was kind of sick in my stomach because the road was hard. It was tough to get back there. And the Scripture says sin's like that, folks. Sin, the way of the transgressor, is hard. You see, sin takes you captive in every area of your life. It'll take you captive emotionally. It'll take you captive physically. And it will take you captive spiritually. We have a ministry to the prison systems. And we'll go down to Huntsville and about 200 to 300, maybe sometimes 300 to 400 men will gather. And we'll preach to those guys, and almost without exception, before the preaching and after the preaching, normally there's a line that forms, and they want you to pray with them. They want to come to you and say, "Listen, pray for me. I got this many years. I've done this. I've done that." And you know what? One of the common things that almost without exception that I hear from a lot of these guys says, "Pray for me, preacher. I just don't have any peace. I just don't have any peace." Here, preacher, because of this, and I look down the road, and I've only served 2 years of a 20-something year sentence, or 3 years of a 40-year sentence, and you see, what happened was bad choices. You see, where's their peace? You know, most of them don't have peace. Most of them are afraid. If you've ever been inside a federal penitentiary, you understand the atmosphere that exists there. You understand that most of these guys live in fear. There's no peace. They have to struggle and fight every day of their life, many of them. They say, "I just don't have any peace." And yet that's what sin does. Sin will literally bring you into captivity and rob you of that security, that contentment in Jesus Christ. You see, Sin is a pirate of peace. I find one more listed in Scripture that I want to take a look at this morning. 1 John chapter 20, if you'll look there with me for just a moment, and then we're going to look at Philippians chapter 3. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 16. 1 John 2, verse number 16. Everybody find your place. The Scripture reads this way. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Did you notice the listing there? The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Keep that in mind as you turn to Philippians chapter 3. Okay, Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. Okay, Philippians 3, verse 3. Paul says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence. None. Zero. No confidence in the flesh. You see, we've examined together this morning, folks, that the number one captain of all captains of piracy, that's pirating the peace of the people of God and trying to keep people from coming to the Lord and having peace with God, is Satan himself. But see, sin will also rob you of peace and pillage your life and kick you to the curb and leave you for nothing. But there's something else also that's pillaging our lives. It's fueled by pride. Here's number three. The third part I want to talk to you this morning is about self. It's you. It's me. You see, remember, a lot of times what we want to do is we want to look out there and we want to say, well, it's that person's fault or it's this fault or it's my circumstances. Okay, blame the devil because he needs to be blamed for some things. You see, sin needs to be blamed for some things. But may I say to you this morning, sometimes we need to look in the mirror because it's ourself. We're stealing our own peace away. And yet Jesus has it for us. You say, how am I doing that, preacher? Well, first of all, number one, bad choices. Just bad choices. Bad decisions. Hey, there's people today that, because of bad decisions, end up bankrupt. Well, you can't point your finger at everybody else. You're the one that made the decision. It's not everybody else's fault. You see, it's easy to say, well, it's the economy. Oh, well, it's this person or that person. Too high taxes and on and on and on. How about look in the mirror and just say, you know what? Boy, I blew that. I made a bad choice. Well, that's an innovative idea, isn't it? To look in the mirror and say, you know what? It's not anybody else. And by the way, the devil didn't make me do it. Many times we do what we do because we choose to do it. It's because we want to do it. That's the reason Paul said, put no confidence in the flesh. You see, what happens is, sure, the devil's robbing the people of God of peace. Sure, sin does. But I'm here to tell you, you're robbing some of it yourself. And I'm robbing it from myself by the choices that I make. It's a pirate of peace in the lives of the people of God. And may I say to you this morning, if you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, may I say, you're going to make a choice too. And that choice is not a choice the devil's making you make. It's not a choice because of sin. It's a choice that you're going to make because of self. And you're going to determine this morning when you walk out that back door whether you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ or not. Whether you want heaven or hell. You're going to make a choice. And that choice will determine your future peace when you walk out of here today. And I'm here to tell you that self this morning is saying, listen, you don't need to listen to anything that preacher's saying. You don't need to listen to the Word of God. You don't need to listen to anything. By the way, nobody can tell you what to do. You ever heard people say, I don't want nobody to tell me what to do. Can I say to you that God's not telling you what to do. He's just making an offer. He's not going to make you or force you to make a choice. He's going to lay it out there. And guess what? You have control over your choices. But I got some bad news for you. You don't have control over the consequences. You do have control over the choice, but you have no control over the consequences. And when we make that choice of either heaven or hell, Jesus or not, the consequences of that, either accepting Him or not accepting Him. But it's a choice. It's a choice. He tells you how else we rob ourselves of peace. Not just bad choices. Number two, stubbornness. Boy, it gets real quiet. Let me say that again. Do you know that's a Bible word? Man, maybe I just need to stay here just a little bit. Sounds like maybe I pushed a button here. Stubbornness. Because you know what? We don't want anybody telling us what to do. Somebody here said to me, "That preacher, you ain't going to tell me who to believe in. What to." I'm not telling you. I'm just telling you what the pirates are that's going to rob you of the peace of God. That's going to rob you of peace with God. Sometimes it's the devil, sometimes it's sin, sometimes it's us. Stubbornness. We won't admit that we're wrong. May I say to you this morning, without Jesus, there is no peace. There is no peace. It is impossible. You're not going to have peace in your heart, and yet people are trying to embrace and find peace everywhere. Bad choices rob us of peace. Stubbornness, self-willed, hard-headed. And yet the Scripture is very plain that God compares stubbornness to some terrible things. Matter of fact, if you took the word pride, one of the first stems off that, if you were making a little pyramid, one of those words would be stubbornness. You see, folks, if we would listen and follow instructions, we could save ourselves a whole lot of problems. Do you know, I'm 48 years old, and when I was 18 years old, those of you that are older now and parents, remember that when you were 16, 17, 18 years old, your parents, as far as you were concerned, rated up real close to the top as being the dumbest people that's ever walked the face of the earth. And you're thinking, I can't believe that I've even got clothes to wear and shoes on my feet. I can't believe I've got food to eat, a house to live in. I can't believe my parents, they're out there. They're the dumbest people I've ever met. But that was when I was about 15, 16, 17. After I got out on my own, you know what I'm talking about? You know, it's amazing. My parents wised up overnight. And I thought, man, my parents are some of the most intelligent. They're the smartest. Man, they must have done everything because they know everything about everything now. You see, they had that wisdom all along. It's just that I never tapped into it. And that's the third thing. Not only bad choices, not only stubbornness, but a lack of wisdom will rob you of peace. A lack of wisdom. I don't know about you folks. I'm just going to try to find wisdom. I'm going to tap into it. Because you know what? I found out I don't know everything about everything. I don't know everything in life. I don't know all about everything. But I'm here to tell you that for a believer, no relationship with Jesus Christ means no peace. I'm here to tell you that for an unbeliever this morning, no Jesus, no peace. Can't have it. But I got some good news for you this morning. All you have to do, Jesus, turn back if you would, John 14. Let's read our verse one more time before we pray. John 14, look at it now. Verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you." You can do with it whatever you want to. I'm fixing to ascend back to my Father's right hand, but I'm going to leave it with you. And you can do with it whatever you want to. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." And then he says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You see, in just a moment when we bow our heads to pray, the pirate ships will start sailing. They're going to start sailing through your mind and through your heart to try to rob you from coming forward this morning and settling and getting back the peace that you know that you have longed for and you have desired. For some, the people of God, it's just coming and making things right with God. For some this morning, it may be that you don't know Jesus Christ. You don't have the peace of God because you don't have peace with God. The Bible says you're at battle with God. You want to make that right this morning. You want to make peace with God. But the pirates are after you. They've got you in their telescope. They can see you this morning. They see right where you are. And they're going to pursue you, whether it be Satan, sin, or yourself. Would you bow your heads with me this morning for just a moment? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many this morning would say, "Preacher, I already know I've been born again. I've already accepted Jesus Christ